I'm Linda Cohen. You know, drug use affects every sector of society, straining our economy, our healthcare and criminal justice systems, and endangering the futures of our young people. And drug trends are in constant motion, with street drugs constantly changing. And besides what's available on the street, the internet provides another avenue to many different kinds of drugs or chemical concoctions that can be even more dangerous. The fact is, you never quite know what you're getting or how it will affect you. It's kind of like playing Russian roulette. Well, joining us this morning with some insights into this problem are Dr. Alexander Gerard, a clinical toxicologist with Upstate Medical University Poison Center, and Lieutenant John Corbett. He's the executive officer of the Special Investigations Division of the Syracuse Police Department. Welcome to you both. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having
us. Glad to be here.
Well, exactly, Dr. Garai, tell us a little bit about what you do as a clinical toxicologist.
Sure. So as a clinical toxicologist, I see patients in the ER who have overdosed or been poisoned, and I help assist the ER physicians as far as management and what to expect with these poisonings.
Okay, and Lieutenant Corbett, in your role as the special investigator, what do you do with that division?
I supervise the Special Investigations Division with drug and vice enforcement, predominantly at nighttime, and I oversee the working operations of the division.
So you see a lot of the, potentially drug overdoses, or you're aware of what's kind of going on out there?
We do see a lot of that, mainly in our role as enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. We are targeting people who are selling drugs, not those who are using drugs.
I see.
But in the general practice of what we do, we see an awful lot of drug use.
So based on that, obviously you both are really on the front lines. What's that, Dr. Gerard, what's going on out there right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually a lot of new stuff that's coming out down the pipeline. You know, we've heard about it in the news. You know, Molly, water is another one that's recently hit Syracuse. And then we have some of the older things like the bath salts that have been marketed under this kind of, you don't think anything about bath salts. It's like, oh, it's like an aromatherapy relaxation. But actually the ones that they're marketing are like synthetic amphetamines, or say like your herbal incense that's sold at like head shops. You know, it's specifically says not for human consumption, but it's actually like synthetic marijuana.
So those things basically are being marketed as legal or potentially legal things are really illegal and hazardous. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're kind of like within that, in the know, you know, in that loop, you don't realize that bath salts that are sold at like tobacco shops are actually like synthetic amphetamines. So that's one way that people don't really, it doesn't raise any hairs. Nobody thinks anything about it. They're like, oh, herbal incense, you know, I burn incense at home too. And so they don't realize that.
When you talk about bath salts, though, are they using them in their baths? Is that the idea? So or do they actually
these are not your Bed Bath & Beyond bath salts. These, you know, come in like very small packets. They're meant to be either ingested or snorted, you know. And I mean, we have people that don't realize that it's actually something different. So they'll actually snort Bed Bath & Beyond bath salts, thinking that that's what it is, and then they just get, you know, a headache and sinus inflammation.
It's frightening, actually, when you think of the kinds of things. Lieutenant Corbett, what is Molly? I mean, that's been in the news lately. What is that?
Well, Molly is a bit of a generic name for an analog of what would most closely resemble ecstasy or MDMA, methylene dioxymethamphetamine. What has happened is that the people that are responsible for producing Molly are trying to stay one step ahead of law enforcement. And what they have done is altered the chemical composition by a molecule or two here or there so that law enforcement will not be able to actively prosecute those people who are involved in the sale of this substance. The changing of the chemical formula by a molecule or two doesn't cause any great difference in effect. So basically what they're trying to do is market a drug that is not covered by legal statute and try to sell it and profit from it.
So it is a hallucinogenic, is that correct?
It is a hallucinogenic.
And it has potential harmful side effects, am I right?
All of these agents, especially the new ones that are coming out, would be kind of classified as hallucinogenic amphetamines. Molly's kind of been marketed as a more pure form of ecstasy. but there are a lot of problems obviously associated with it. Anything from, you know, very bad hallucinations. Again, you never know what you're getting. There could be a number of different adulterants in it. You actually get very little pure drug when it comes to these products. You know, they're not FDA approved. They don't go through any sort of, you know, testing for efficacy. But, you know, we're talking about seizures, you know, heart attacks, possibly, you know, if your blood pressure is too high, you can have a stroke. Paranoia, agitation, delirium. You know, these are things that can have lasting effects on people.
That's a great point. All street drugs are adulterated with something or many substances, and you have no idea what they are. The only drugs that can be consumed where the user has some semblance of an idea of what's in them are prescription medications. Every street drug is adulterated with unknown substances, and some of them can be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Cocaine cut with levamisole, right. Heroin laced with strychnine, a lot of different things like that, and it places people at risk.
It obviously
does. And it's here in Syracuse. I mean, heroin with strychnine is here.
So where do you think these, I mean, in your experience, Lieutenant Corbett, where are these drugs coming from? I mean, are they manufactured right here in Central New York? Do they come from New York City? Where do they come from?
Many of our drugs are imported. A significant percentage of our drugs come from the New York City metropolitan area. Ecstasy tends to come from Canada. Hydroponic marijuana, the same thing, coming down from Canada. Some of the drugs that are here are clandestinely manufactured here, but I would say the vast majority of them are imported from other places.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of, have you seen much mortality or just morbidity? I mean, problems?
We've seen, I mean, there definitely is mortality associated with these agents, and, you know, we've seen, you know, here, let's say with like PCP, people are very, you know.
What is PCP?
PCP basically is kind of an old drug that first was discovered in the 1920s, was initially used as an anesthetic, and then because of the adverse effects associated with it, kind of fell out of favor. And then it kind of started coming back more as like a club drug. And recently it's kind of made a resurgence, and people like it because it gives us kind of out-of-body experience.
Is that angel dust? Is it
It's another name for angel dust, mm-hmm. Hog, you know, it goes by a number of different names. But part of the problem is that it produces, you know, severe agitation. People get very angry. It's this whole dysphoric feeling, so they get very violent, both to themselves and to others, as we've seen here in Syracuse.
Have there been crimes actually associated with that?
There have. PCP is a dissociative anesthetic, but its effect on people cannot be predicted because depending on the dose that's ingested, that will determine, for example, how someone is going to act or react relative to the drug. And because it is capable of doing so many different things physiologically, you just don't know what somebody's going to do while they're under the influence of it. Some of the effects of it have been, for example, characterized as superhuman strength, hallucinations, delusions, catatonia. There are a lot of different effects. And when we talk about the drug water, which is a very hot topic right now, water is essentially PCP. That's the street name for it. And some people have referred to it as embalming fluid. Now, if somebody is trying to ingest embalming fluid, that is extremely carcinogenic and extremely toxic to the human system. But if PCP is diluted with embalming fluid, then the person that's ingesting that PCP, whether it be smoking or taking it orally, is taking those carcinogens in as well.
That is so frightening. How do you recommend people protect themselves, or the people out there in the street protect themselves? I mean, are there registries or sources of information people can go to?
I mean, I think one wide community resource that people can call for information is at the Poison Center, actually. We kind of keep track as far as epidemiology of what's going on. Almost on a daily basis, if they actually have information. I always say if they know that somebody's on it, you know, or especially something like water, you know, the best thing to do is call 911 because those people can be very violent and you need to protect yourself. You know, they need to seek medical attention.
I use the Poison Control Center all the time. I have the number speed dialed in my cell phone because oftentimes on search warrants, we will find pills that we don't know what they are, and we call Poison Control, and we generally get a very quick response to our inquiries which helps us identify different drugs.
You made a very interesting point, though, when you talked earlier about the fact that they're trying to stay one step ahead of the law by altering these drugs. Mm-hmm. So obviously that puts you in a great disadvantage as law enforcement. But also there are a number of prescription drugs or even over-the-counter things that are being used and abused, like...
Right. So for instance, what's really popular with high school kids is dextromethorphan, which is found in Robitussin. You know, it's a cough suppressant. So, you know, these kids will go what's called robo-tripping because it, just like PCP and similar to ketamine, it's also considered a dissociative agent. So it produces a similar effect, but you don't think anything of it, you know. And that's why a lot of these agents, so for instance, like pseudoephedrine is regulated. You can only buy so much because that's used in the manufacturing of methamphetamine. Benadryl, a lot of kids will abuse that as well because that produces a lot of hallucinations. But, you know, not just that, it can produce seizures and people can actually die from a Benadryl overdose. So it's very dangerous.
So in the last couple of minutes we have, what recommendations do you make to parents out there?
Talk to your kids. Communication is essential. And that's how you get to the bottom of the drug problem.
Very good. Well, Dr. Alexander Garrard, clinical toxicologist with Upstate Medical University Poison Center, and Lieutenant John Corbett from the Syracuse Police Department, thank you so very much for coming in today, and hopefully we've reached some people out there with some important information. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.